Forget about all the software codes, all these jumps, and all the go-to, and all the other things. Just use the teletype. Okay, now we come to the end, and we have to really think about it, because this is not like a little trick. I think we have to be a bit careful. But what will be its social effects? And I think we should not underestimate this. It could will it beat the human brain? This is the question. Will it replace human labor? Will it become truly self-aware? Will it pose a danger to our society? Well, now until now, this has been just idle speculation. But now we must find answers, and very quickly, because this is really a revolution. Let's not kid about it. Okay, can it ever beat the human brain? We must look more closely at this, because our performance is controlled by three factors, which I call intelligence, knowledge, and imagination. Intelligence we can now define as the genetic hardware supplied by Mother Nature, and it's the innate ability to learn and to recognize patterns. Recognize this, this is exactly what those networks do, the innate ability to learn and to recognize patterns. Except for economic reasons, there is no limit to the computer's memory, speed, and number of networks, or the complexity of the networks. There's no reason why such a computer cannot be hundreds or even thousands of times more intelligent than ourselves. We can, however, fine-tune its intelligence because we are in control. We know how many networks and what we want to put into them. So it's not a wild-running monster. We can do whatever we want to do. Knowledge, on the other hand, as I defined earlier, is a definition of concepts and their interrelationships. Contrary to the old program computer, which could only be as knowledgeable as their programmers, these new computers could be trained by many human teachers. Thousands of people could store their knowledge in there, and this one would remember it all. And also, this computer can read books by themselves. They don't need human input, and they don't need human programmers. A computer could absorb, in time, all of humanity's present knowledge, including every book ever written by man. This could become a common storage of human knowledge, and those billion-byte laser memories we have today are well up to that task. Remember those that thing about knowledge saturation. The memory will saturate. After a computer is smart, it will not need very little memory to learn more. Well, we can also fine-tune the knowledge that thing has, because we can give it only so much memory. It cannot learn any more than it has physical memory installed. So we can make those computers as smart or as knowledgeable or as dumb as we want them to be. However, those computers will have, there's no reason, except for maybe memory cost, but these computers could not be thousands and millions of times more knowledgeable than any human alive. What about imagination? Will this thing have imagination? Well, it will have little imagination, of course, at first. And that's why the human brain will remain superior, at least for some time, until we can define exactly how to solve problems and how to go about being inventive. It's not that it is inherently unable to do so, it is only because we know so little about it. Robots could be trained to perform any human task, but with more precision and reliability. This will, of course, cause people to lose their jobs, but I don't really believe that that work is really the ultimate human happiness, as long as we have economic welfare. Who of us really enjoys going to work? Let's face it. Remember that humans will not reach the stars unless these machines carry them there. It might hurt our ego, but essentially this is the only way to go. Can such computers in time become really self-aware? I believe it to be inevitable. Since they do actually directly simulate our brain, they will in time become truly self-aware. But those computers, when they do become self-aware, will have very few of our limitations. Remember, they will have a mathematically clean and precise mind, not just like our biological systems. They will have unlimited memory. If it runs our memory space, you plug in some more. They will never forget, never grow old, and their stored knowledge never needs to die. They can see with different senses, with different eyes than ours. They can see radar waves or X-rays, no matter what And they do not need to wait for evolution to improve their performance. All we have to do is go take a screwdriver and put in some more devices. Frankly, the only thing I'm scared about is if humans are stupid enough to build killer machines with that. Self-aware killer machines. And the temptation for our military is almost irresistible. Because those machines could be millions of times smarter than we are, millions of times more knowledgeable, and their speed is incredibly faster than ours. And they need no education. They have just a mind, just like a closed mind, which needs no programming. Those machines, in fact, cannot be defeated by anybody except for other killer machines or other robots. Well, we should, however, not be obsessed by some kind of Frankenstein complex. After all, we are somewhere in control. We can fine-tune their intelligence and their knowledge. And of course, it will take a couple of years to develop those things. So they won't be around tonight, which is nice. There will be accidents, of course, unless we take precautions. The distinguished scientist and science fiction writer Isaac Asimov, you probably know him, has formulated rules for robot safety, which have become known as the three Asimov laws of robotics. Let me repeat those laws quickly. The law one says a robot may not injure a human being, or through its inaction allow a human being to come to harm. Law says, two says a robot must obey the orders given it by a human being, except where such orders would conflict with the first law. Law three, a robot must protect its own existence as long as such protection does not conflict with the first and second law. These laws could be used to design robots, but I do have some reservations. First, I believe that our military will be consciously and intentionally built machines to hurt and kill people. There's no escape from that. Second, I do not believe in slavery, not even machine slavery. I believe that a superior mind will not be controlled by an inferior mind for very long. In fact, the law which I formulated was a superior mind will break any jail constructed for it by an inferior mind. So if you're smarter, you break out any jail the lesser people can build for you. So here are my own three laws of protect ourselves from rogue robots. The law once says no robot should be furnished with facilities for self-duplication or self-modification. They should not be able to modify themselves or to duplicate themselves. So whenever one of those things goes wild, at least there's only one around. Every machine should be built from the degradable material and furnished with an exhaustible power source. So if those things need a maintenance and they have only a battery which runs down, even if it runs wild and kills a few people, at least it won't run forever. Every machine should require for its operation a frequent input of human intent. Something like a timer which has to be pushed every couple of days or so to say, okay, boy, you're still alive, and go on. If humans don't push that button, it should deactivate itself. Yeah, such consideration and all this talk is really for the future, and it's fun, but let's face it, we have to build computers today. We have to make a profit out of them. So let's do it, and let's start the revolution. I believe that we might meet an intelligent, non-human creature sooner than we might expect. Thank you. Are there any questions? Yeah?
Because I read books, and it reads book A, it says X is black, and book B, it says X is red. I don't see what
there
it's going to do. Down.
No, not at all. What do you do about it? You learn them both until you find the truth. With other words, if I tell you that our president is Mr. Ford, and tomorrow I tell you our president is Mr. Carter, what do you do? You never forget that our president is Mr. Ford, but you supersede it with more accurate knowledge. In fact, any question you can throw at me concerning the brain, I can throw right back at you, because I've thought about it more longer than you have. Yes, of course. Do you want me to build a 370 computer right now for you? I mean, this is just the beginning. Let's face it, the very first step. In a couple of years from now, I will show you machines will learn much faster and much more than humans ever could. This is not the end result. This is just the first step. Yeah?
How much memory would you need to, say, store the dictionary?
Not more than a little floppy disk, a couple megabytes. No more than you can put in a floppy disk or a cassette. Because of the data compression.
Do you plan to do this?
We plan to put up a system like this for this show, but we had a teletype breakdown and couldn't make it. So, yeah?
How about the, you were talking about language translation, and of course, I mean, I'm sure you're aware of all the problems involved with the ambiguities of different languages. Are you just going to, have you thought extensively yet about the algorithms you're going to need to translate one sentence to another as opposed to one word to another, and how those are going to be implemented through this hierarchic type system?
Yeah, I have described it in the proceedings, and obviously I'm not a language translator, and it's just an example. So one of you guys has to work out the details.
I assume the same thing would apply to video recognition.
Video recognition, or what?
Well, for instance, if something was going to do pattern recognition of words, eventually, you proposed that it could be done with visual objects, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Sort of pattern recognition, different matrices set up for different video systems. And you'd have to have some kind of algorithm that said that when something was oriented this way, it was the same thing that was oriented this way.
No. You connect the points in space. You see a rose, you see through your eyes, is some kind of red and flowery thing. You see through your eyes. And you convert that to a single point in space. If you hear the word rose through your ear, it's a sound pattern. You convert that to another point in space. If you see the word rose written down on paper, you convert it into another one. And then you simply connect them, interconnect them. You see that kind of little red thing I see there is a rose. And that sound pattern I perceive through my ear is the same thing as that. That's knowledge again. The interconnection, the automatic interconnection of information.
How do you handle the problem where you started from a starting point with the word rose and it's come up with a particular number, let's say 75. You start with 75 and work backwards and it says that rose is a flower. What happens if rose is also a girl?
Yeah, as I said, you have two facts involved. It's exactly like how your brain works. You know that rose is a flower and also that rose is a girl.
So it has to formulate a question.
No, you don't. You don't have to do it. It's just like you. You know that it's both and you have to store both. As I said, I don't have all the answers and all I haven't built one of those things yet. I have tried it, but not yet. But once we build those systems, we will answer all those questions and we will find the answers, I guess. Yes, please?
How would you have it originate its own thought? It can't start thinking on its own, have to give it a question.
Well, as I said, I cannot show you a complete system. I'm 10 years in the future, maybe. I can only show you the basic steps, the basic algorithms. You know, what you can do today. I haven't built it yet. And we still have a lot to learn. This is not the whole answer at all. So thank you very much.